Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Celestial Fridays. With me, I am Celeste Elliott. This is Lilydale Radio, part of the Lilydale Spiritualist Association and the town of Lilydale, New York. We are the world's largest center for the religion, science, and philosophy of spiritualism. So I am here today to just kind of share with you a few things, and I will be taking comments and I will be taking calls later. So if you would like to call in later with a question, or you want to share something about your personal spiritual journey, or you want to ask a mediumship question, that is what I'm here for. So our guest call-in number is 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818. And that is a lot of eights, which is a good thing. So so this morning, it is a national holiday. I'm not sure if you were aware of that. It's one of these that was kind of made up. So as a message to everybody who tuned in on Facebook Live, I just want to say, hello, gorgeous. It is National Coffee Day. So, of course, one of my favorite holidays, because I can sit here and meditate with my cup of joe. Hi, Christine. Thanks for joining in. So today, as we're getting all revved up with our cup of coffee, I wanted to take a moment and kind of tune the discussion towards talking about joy and turning things around in our lives when, you know, situations and energy is not ideal. It does happen, unfortunately, when we are living on this plane of existence. Life is not always super easy. So last night, actually, I was, and by the way, I have terrible eye allergies this morning. Fall has officially begun. I was out 2 days ago at Niagara Falls, and yesterday I was out walking in the woods because I can. We are in the middle of an old-growth forest, so you might as well take advantage of that when you can, right? So, but for anybody on Facebook, I promise you I'm not crying. I'm just, I'm a little eye allergy stuff going on. So, last night I was going through watching the news and catching up on emails and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's like sometimes you don't want to do that too late at night because it makes it really, really hard to kind of wind down, not only because of the light that comes off of the electronic equipment, the blue light, which, you know, we know is not so good for the circadian rhythm, but also because, hi, Haley, because, you know, there is, it gets our minds going and it can get us into this energy of not being able to relax because we're thinking about all of the things that we have to do, all of the things that we can't control, and you lay down and it's like eventually you get to the point where you say to yourself, is it more productive for me to try to rest or is it more productive for me to try to get up and actually do something and be productive that way? So, you know, it's not a great conducive experience for sleeping at night. So, you know, I found a quote, not last night, but before that. Hi, Colleen. Thanks for joining. I found this great quote by Mark Black that says, sometimes the most productive thing you can do is relax. And I think that I need to kind of get that as like a wall piece for my waiting area or for my reading room, because I think it's a really great reminder. You know, the thing is, when we're here in the physical, you know, there are certain realities, and it's, you know, when we have these situations, we have to take a step back and look at why are we wound up. Is it a physiological issue that's going on because you're stimulated by light? With being National Coffee Day, don't, you know, eat too many chocolate-covered espresso beans, that sort of thing. But it's one of these things where it's like if we can start to look at it, at what's bothering us and what the problem is, then we can start to kind of go into problem-solver mode and do something where, you know, because we can't control every situation. And really we shouldn't try, you know. That's part of the human experience. But, you know, there are times when things like stress are going to happen, and we have to kind of set a routine to not let that overrun our lives. So meditation, not only is that the number one best way to develop your mediumship and your spirituality, but it trains the brain so that, you know, we get into a place where we're sort of living our meditation rather than it being something that we do for 5 minutes at the start of the day or when we're washing the dishes or when we're making our bed, because anything routine where the brain can kind of relax a little bit and get into the lower brainwave state, going from alpha to beta, is a beautiful thing. That in itself is a meditation. There is a running joke for mediums, and actually in my family, we would sit in the living room, and it'd be like, well, do you have any insight on this? And be like, well, no, but I am going to go wash the dishes in about 5 minutes, and then maybe I'll get a bit of information from there. So it's about, you know, letting your brain be open to that sort of thing. And then, you know, of course, water is also a psychic conductor. And it's possibly because when we're around water, it allows us to get our bodies to get into a rhythm where, again, it's like the brain waves go from alpha to beta because we are mostly water in our makeup. So we're kind of getting back into rhythm that way. So, you know, planning special things that can be a stress reduction idea. Of course, my personal favorite is massage. But, you know, I can't, I wish I could do that every day. I really do. a lot of the mediums actually during the season will take maybe one day off a week. And I know I use that in the morning for massage. So don't tell anybody. But so I have a question here on Facebook. Do you have any idea if it's common to become more sensitive to spirit while pregnant? Actually, I want to thank you for that question, Elizabeth, because yes, anybody that is going through any sort of hormonal flux, you will become more in tune, more intuitive, more mediumistic, but also I would assume because, you know, intuitive skills and mediumistic skills, they are an extension of our survival skills also. So that means if you are somebody who, you know, when you're pregnant, that makes you a little more vulnerable. So in addition to the hormones and the stress that your body is under in, you know, creating a tiny human, a whole nother person, you're gonna be a little more on an unconscious or subconscious level, a little more in tune with, you know, what might be dangerous. What might be healthy, you know, looking for and sort of like what is a safe and environment to nest in, that sort of thing. So that was an awesome question, and thank you for that. So, yeah, I encourage a meditative practice, even if that is a few minutes a day. Nobody said that you're going to get to enlightenment or the which is, by the way, the best version of yourself. It's not some kind of unobtainable right brain concept. You know, it's something that we strive for on a soul level, all of us, and, you know, something that, that takes time. But nobody said that you'll get there faster by sitting cross-legged on the floor for 12 hours every day rather than going about your life. And actually, there is an old Buddhist joke about that where a man comes to the Rinpoche, which is like the head monk, and says, you know, if I meditate 2 hours a day, will I get to enlightenment faster? And the Rinpoche says, probably. And he says, so the man thinks about it, and he says, well, I have work and I have a family, but enlightenment is the most important thing. So if I meditate 12 hours a day, will I get to enlightenment faster? And the monk says, no, and walks away. So, you know, we have to live. We have to live in balance. And that's a very, very important thing. As the old saying goes, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. As long as we're in the physical dimension, we have to be mindful of the mind-body-spirit connection and, you know, continue to work on the spiritual things. But, you know, we can sort of get addicted to that, just like we can sort of get addicted to watching the news and getting into energetic patterns. So that's something that you kind of have to watch a little bit. So I'm looking at one of the comments here. Mediumistic skills definitely a part of our survival skills. I absolutely refuse to believe in watching the animal kingdom that they don't have instinct, and instinct is intuition, because there are a lot of squirrels that are alive today because they dodged left instead of right when a car was coming down the road. So, yes, that is my cheeky sense of humor. But except the Lilydale squirrels and cats, because they lay in the street and everybody goes around them because it's their town. We just happen to, you know, pay the mortgage. But anyway, I wanted to, this was the point that I wanted to talk about today, was watching for energetic patterns within ourselves. And whether that is part of, you know, how we're resting or not resting at night. For some people, you know, we all have triggers about certain things. You know, for some of us, it can be as little as hearing a particular song on the radio that brings up really good emotions or really sad emotions. For some of us, it's about people. You know, for, you know, when you work in a regular workplace and there are people that you have to deal with, you know, we have all lots of personalities going on. And it doesn't mean that, you know, to be enlightened means that you are in a state of bliss at all times, that you love everybody unconditionally and anything goes. It's more along the lines of trying to live by the golden rule, trying to be respectful, and not allowing other people's nonsense to create a bad pattern for you, so that you're making then destructive decisions because you're choosing to hold on to energy that is not helpful, not kind to you, not productive, that sort of thing. Okay, so we can really get into situations where it's like, you know, sometimes you'll have to deal with somebody and it's like they're a dog with a bone. You know, they don't want to let it go. And, you know, from a dog's perspective, that bone is delicious. Why would they want to let it go, right? But, you know, it's like that's why we have to take the pause. We have to take a deep breath. We have to center ourselves. And I like to do an exercise, actually, with meditation where I just kind of close my eyes and take a breath and kind of feel where I am. And if that is that I am in a state of anxiety, by recognizing it, it makes it a whole lot easier to shift that. So if you can't get out of the energy of nervousness, of anxiety, sometimes the most productive thing you can do in addition to relaxing, as Mark Black would say. But sometimes the most important thing that you can do is take a moment and recognize that energy, and then think of something in your life. Think of a memory or a situation that gave you joy, that gave you that you remember feeling very safe, very happy, that there were good things for you going on, that you felt joyful or hopeful, and recognize where you feel that in your body also, because it's not just six senses that we're dealing with. It's, you have your normal senses, and then just double that, and then add one for, I like to say, just awareness, mental processes, because that's, that intuitive state as well. And, with that energy, it's like, if you know where you feel it, if you feel excitement in your solar plexus, in your tummy, if you feel joy coming from your heart space, if you feel nervousness as a tingle in the back of your head, it's different for everybody. But just to do the exercise to pay attention to that, and then shifting it into, where you feel the good emotions, you can actually work on multiplying that, on kind of pushing it out, on expanding it, setting the intention to expand it. And if you kind of think of that feeling and almost encapsulate it in a little bubble for yourself. This was an exercise, actually, that I learned from Master Robert Peng, who is a Qigong master, that I was fortunate enough to take just a few courses with like half a decade ago at this point. Time moves quickly, I have to say. But, this is, it creates a safe space, it creates a safe environment for you, but you are a conscious co-creator of your reality, and the vibration and the energy that you put off is picked up by other living beings. Whether that is the tree in your front yard or your neighbor or your coworker or the people that you pass, joy is infectious. For the people on Facebook, if you hear a little noise, that is probably because I have a metal roof and it has now started to rain. Not torrentially, but just a little bit because it is fall. But, working on you can encapsulate that emotional space and expand it through your body, your being, until it becomes a space on the outside of you. And it can be, if you're a very visual person, you can add a color to that. It doesn't have to be any particular color. There is no right or wrong with that, okay? So don't worry about it if somebody says to you, oh, it has to be orange. Not particularly. But you can work on expanding that to your, outside of yourself. You can work on expanding that to the size of your room. You can work on expanding that through your house. But it's all about the intention of what you're choosing to expand, okay? The exercise I did with Master Peng was actually about expanding your energy, your chi, building up the life force. And I always found that to be highly helpful. For those of you who aren't quite able to get into that headset yet, or headspace yet, not headset, I don't know where that came from, headspace, you can also do something like a physical meditation, such as Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, taking a walk. And if you're going to do a walk, I recommend either using a treadmill, because that's not going to go anywhere. There's no potholes. Or using terrain like a track or someplace that you would know, so that it's not, you're not going to fall off a curb or something like that. You have to be sort of semi-conscious. For people who say that they meditate and then they go too deeply, which is the kind of meditation where you begin to snore, meaning that the brainwaves go just a little little too deep, then try to sit on the edge of your chair. You can also, yes, Colleen, headset equals mindset, exact the same thing. Yes, I like that. So I am keeping track of some of the comments here on Facebook as well, but I am going to take audio callers in a moment here, so if you would like to call in, if you want to talk about your spiritual journey, if you want to discuss ideas for sort of how to get beyond some of the energetic blocks in our lives sometimes, or if you have a mediumship question, again, that's all what I'm here for. So the guest call-in number is 818-739-8818. And, you know, there's, when it comes to something like anxiety, something like depression, these are serious things that it's, you know, I am not a clinician, so I can't go anywhere near the qualifications of prescribing, but I can tell you that from what a lot of therapists are talking about is that meditation can't hurt. So that's something that you know, whatever form you use, whatever you're comfortable with, that's something that you continue to work on, okay? So, you know, shifting the energy, shifting towards compassion for ourselves first, because if you don't have compassion for yourself, it is very, very, very difficult to have compassion for anyone else in any other situation. You know, and for some people, it's like if they have a different set of life experiences, they have a hard time in doing, you know, like if they've only had physical disability, they don't understand what it is to be around somebody who has a lot of anxiety issues. And for some people who have only had anxiety or dealt with mental things within their life and their experience, then they may have a very hard time. They don't understand the limitations of physical issues. So, you know, unfortunately, in this lifetime, we have yet to cure all disorders and diseases and issues. So, you know, we continue to move forward as a human race. So the only thing we can do is try to, you know, as Ram Dass would say, we're all walking each other home. So, you know, continue to work on yourself first, and really spreading as much joy and as much compassion as you can. And by the way, because I am seeing this a lot lately, you know, it doesn't mean when you are beyond a situation that by showing compassion for someone that you are, you don't have to bring people up to your level is how I want to put it, okay? It doesn't mean that you have to make excuses for them by saying, oh, yeah, I'm even worse than you are, because what does that help? And it's something that a lot of people do. We want to placate. We want to, you know, but it doesn't help to inspire. All it does is kind of allow the other person to stay on that same vibration. So, you know, if you're of the mindset that you want to be a healer, that you want to help people on their journey, first, of course, work on yourself. Show compassion for yourself. Show compassion for other people, and work from there. Okay. So I am going to take a caller now, and the last four digits of your phone number are 4884. That's 4884. So if I'm going to click on you for just a second here, and if you could give me your name and where you're from, that would be great. Okay. Hello, caller.
Hello, is your name Celeste? Is that your name?
That's correct. Hi.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Stan. How you doing?
I'm good, Stan. Thanks for calling in today. And where are you from?
I live in western North Carolina in the Smoky Mountains, where I am right now.
Oh, fantastic. Very beautiful area.
Yeah, I'm actually from Richmond, Virginia, but I've traveled a lot and ended up here. So, pretty nice.
Very cool.
First time I've tuned in to your show. I was listening. I've been listening since about 7 minutes after you started, and do I understand that you would do a reading? What do you do?
I am a medium, You know, I can answer mediumship questions for you, or you know, if there's you wanted to kind of talk with one of your loved ones or share something on your spiritual journey. That's what we're doing here today.
Okay. All right. Well, perhaps talking to a loved one is one of the things I'd pick. I mean, I'm looking for some additional perspective. I'm almost 65 years old, and I've been kind of working on an awakening for about 10 years now. It kind of started. And so I have my own set of ways of connecting to my divine source. And I'm at a point now where I have a three-year-old son. So I have some adult sons, but my three-year-old is quite a wonder. And I know that there's a lot of reasons that for the fact that even I'm his father, and you know, this is all a special moment for me. But right now I'm feeling a real pretty strong tug to do more, like expand and use my gifts to help more people. So I would wonder what you might be receiving from wherever you connect with around that, or if you're getting something else, I'm open to that too, that would provide some perspective or direction. So.
Yes. Well, you know, as I was saying before, the number one way to develop intuitively or mediumistically is actually to meditate, because that gives you a kind of spiritual foundation to work off. And then also, if you want to develop further with the intuition, traditionally, for spiritualism, you would sit in a development circle where you sort of build some bonds of trust and you can learn about how spirit already works with you and expand that skill set from there. But part of it is, you know, as you go for readings, you learn from that. As you study, whether that is, you know, reading books, or that is because I find that when you can get into the energy of something like mediumship or intuition, a lot of people will kind of, it's like who you're around. Once you know what's possible, you can pick up on that energy and you can do the same or more. But it's to have a group, to have a mentor is a wonderful thing, because then it gives you a kind of, it does give you a foundation, but it also gives you a kind of ethical understanding of how to handle situations that will come up as well. For in spiritualism, we probably have more ministers than any other religion, to be honest with you. And that is because, you know, that's where we sort of get our ethics training and how to handle things, as well as, you know, mediumship being an active part of the faith as well, and kind of talking about the continuity of life and how death is kind of a reality. It is a physical reality, but not a spiritual reality, because the personality and the soul and the spirit still exist. Are you in an area where you have that kind of support, where you have like a local church or you have a metaphysical group or something along those lines?
Well, we're somewhat new to this area, and I have been sort of in I don't know. I've been in a solitary mode somewhat, mostly focused on family, and have not. I've been just feeling the nudge and this urge to expand. So now I've been through a period where I did that, and I've traveled quite a bit. I've been to India and spent time in an ashram, and I've done
wonderful.
Lots of things, and so my journey has been, it's been all over the place, and I've been sort of in this family mode, and after being really kind of a free spirit for quite a while, and it's taken quite a bit for me to adjust and adapt to this way of being, because I'm really a bit of a loner / someone who once I decide to do something, I just go and do it. But I've got this family now, so I'm working through that. I'm having some difficulty getting out of this mode I've been in to get back into interacting and expanding my gifts to help others. If you are a medium, it's been, I've had, mediumship readings before, but it's been a while. You can maybe check and
I have to say, I do, as I tune in for you, I actually do get some energy coming from kind of a mother figure for you. And I get something in the headspace with her before passing where it's almost kind of a lack of oxygen feeling, because I feel something with the heart not pumping properly also, okay? So I don't know if there was a dementia as well as this, or if it was just the heart issue that would have caused that kind of lack of oxygen. But, here's the thing, because as she touches in with you, she was somebody who was I feel very protective energy with her for you. She was protective of her family. And I will say, for all of us, when we get to the other side, it is more important that we had been good people and you can be a fabulous medium, but if you didn't have people that loved you that beyond your skill set, that doesn't mean that you necessarily did what you came here to do. And I would tell you that you can do both. You can have a beautiful family and, you have a little one, you have a three-year-old, you could bring him into your meditation with you. You could and take him for him or her, I think you said him, but take them for walks. The female energy that comes in around you, I feel when she visits, I'm getting the image here mentally of this kind of blue and white china, and it's almost like it's on display on a wall with these shelves, okay? And so I don't know if she just had a few special pieces that were there or that was where she kept, all of her good dishes or kind of collector's pieces, but I'm looking specifically at the blue and white one right now, and it's like she still kind of moves things around a little bit because I feel that you would have some things, but they would be in boxes. And it's like life is to be enjoyed. You have to take your skill set off the shelf. You have to take, and you have to use the things, use the tools that you have, use the things that are of value, enjoy them. And it's that links back to kind of what you were saying with development also. It's like all the way around, these are things that, you know, now you're ready for them. You went through a resting period, but now you're ready for them. You understand?
Right. So
okay.
this energy, this woman that you're connecting with, sounds like it's one of my grandmothers. I can't really tell from what you said. Which one?
Grandmother had a hand in raising you when you were small, because I feel like I want to look at you as still being sort of like 5 or 6 or at this time.
Okay, well, yeah, one of my grandmothers passed before I showed up, so that helps me.
So that would be,
That's my mother's mom.
Yeah. Mom's mom. And yeah. She was the one who had the china on display as well. Would you understand this?
That sounds familiar to me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a detail you can check on, fortunately. But, you know, they give us these pieces of evidence to say, remember this about me.
Right.
But she was a little bit of a rebel, I have to say, and not in a bad way. She was somebody who did whatever it took to keep her family together, to do right by everybody. She would not have necessarily understood your outlook on the world in, like, taking off and traveling, although she, from the spirit side of life, looks at you as being very fortunate, as taking advantage of every good opportunity is how I heard it, okay?
Right.
And it's made you a better person, and she recognizes that, and she's praising you for it. So her husband, because I feel your mom's dad would be in spirit as well.
Yeah.
And a bit of a raspy voice on that one, or a raspy throat.
Grandpa Jack.
You know,
yeah.
They're together, and they do watch over you. So I would say, you know, when you think of them, send off the nice thought, because they like to, of course, keep in touch with us, okay?
Right.
And you know, if they have an expertise, and your grandfather says his expertise was family, so he's happy to help to guide you from the spirit side of life and make sure that you... He jokingly says, stay on the straight and narrow, because you are on the straight and narrow. That's who you are as a person. So they're celebrating for you, okay? They see you as successful, so you have to start validating that for yourself as well, okay? But I would suggest if you spent time in an ashram, you obviously know how to meditate, so I would tell you to... continue that, get back into that, but start to look for a sense of community. And that's something that is very important to bring, of course, your child into at any stage in their life as well. Not only the little one, but the growing ones as well, because that gives them a sense of understanding of who they are, and will help to, you know, if you meditate with them, that can help them to overcome anxiety, to, you know, deal with situations as they're going through life. So, okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in, and
yes,
I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much for your perspective and your comments. I appreciate it, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so I want to go back to my little Facebook crew here, because I'm seeing some comments about, and yes, Jan, I will actually tune into you just after this. I'm looking at comments here from people saying that they went through a long period of time where life struggles kind of shut down their intuitive ability, and I did just kind of have a comment earlier that I made about intuition being an extension of our survival skills. So I understand how that can feel a little contrary. However, when we are in situations in which, you know, we can go into that pattern, and sometimes it's a physiological thing for us, sometimes it's an emotional thing, sometimes it's a spiritual thing where we kind of, you know, we stay in a pattern that we know because it feels like survival. And I'm borrowing, by the way, phrasing from Simon James, one of my very favorite UK, now Canadian mediums. So, Simon, if you ever see this, I promise I'm giving credit because it was a wonderful, I loved the way that you phrased it. So, you know, we choose something that feels like survival. It doesn't necessarily mean that we are safe, but we lock onto these patterns. And, you know, we get into kind of that first chakra center, you know, it's that kind of fear-based place, that fear-based situation. And, you know, it's something that then, you know, we don't yet get beyond that, okay? So that, and that locks down the intuition because we're not allowing ourselves the clarity to be open to spirit. And, you know, because we're racing, our minds are racing. When we have anxiety, we have a physiological response to that. We have a hormonal response to that. At various times in our lives, our intuition is going to be a lot stronger or a lot lower because of that, okay? You know, that's something that we just kind of have to honor, and it's something that I'm also getting another message here, so I will handle this next question in just a second. But there is a situation where you know, we have to look at what's not working for us, and then use all of the tools that we have to, you know, it's the same when I ran us through that little exercise earlier when I was talking about sort of expanding the good, but sometimes also you have to kind of take that energy and, you know, what wouldn't work for us, encapsulate that and release it, turn it over to spirit. Because as we build a relationship with spirit and we build that kind of trust factor, knowing that they will not let us down, that really works for us, okay? So, you know, it will only build the emotions in a good way. It will shift the physiological reaction. You know, in some training, they teach about breath work, and they teach that as you change your breath, you will change your energy, you will change your mindset, you change your physiology, all of these, and it helps us to kind of push that energy and hold it out here so that we don't continue in that pattern, okay? It can get us out of kind of panic mode and allow us to raise our vibration to connect with spirit. I wanted to go back and because I promised Jan that I would get in tune with her energy because she had a particular person also who she wanted to connect with. Jan, typically, I would prefer to do this with you calling in, but since you're not on the actual line, we can try and do it this way. And, you know, you're wanting to connect with Mom, so if you could just respond to me via Facebook, that would be great, and I will acknowledge that. There is an energy here where I feel, as I connect with you, a lot of pressure in the chest for her, okay? I would say that would be something with heart-related before passing. Now, when I acknowledge these symptoms with the spirit loved ones, please be reassured that this is not something that they have to re-experience, okay? That it is a situation in which you know, we would acknowledge it like we would acknowledge having skinned an arm in third grade or something, okay? And, yeah, okay, thank you very much. So acknowledging the pressure in the chest, thank you for that. I do feel with her, because, of course, it always bears repeating that she is well on the spirit side of life. And, you know, she acknowledges to me that you have that you're very much in a caretaking situation with some of the people in your lives right now, and part of that is because I'm actually getting two people in particular, and then one that I feel kind of on the peripheral that could be helping a little more, but they're not really able to, sort of thing, okay? And thank you for that as well. There's an energy here to say to you that, you know, you can only do what you can do, okay? I do get the impression that they're saying that you haven't gotten kind of community involvement, okay? And that's something that would really help. So they are asking you to consider, you know, not trying to do everything yourself, okay? And because I'm aware specifically of you giving rides back and forth as well. Do you understand this? Yeah, the family's not helping. I did feel that. I'm almost getting it like there could be like a social worker feeling with this, okay? And I don't feel that that means that anybody is going to have to go and like live in a facility or that adult services would be called in or something. But almost along the lines of, you know, like getting hooked up with that medical care situation where they could recommend a service and that it would be paid for, taken care of that way. Because it's spirit is making me aware that the energy is there, that we've already put the work in. It's just that we haven't called in the troops yet, okay? So your mom is trying to tell you to be gentle with yourself because it's not easy or good for you to be driving constantly, okay? And she sees this. She only brings it up because she wants you to know that she's participating in your life, that she cares about you, that she sees this. And it's like it is not a failure if you try to get more help involved, okay? So an awful lot of love from her, and I'll just kind of shift modes now. So, and let's see, and also, okay, I have a comment from Sarah about her father also, who is not in great health right now, and I have to say, when I tune in with your energy, Sarah, I'm aware that you have some training in the healing arts as well, and I would say to you that that's something that you want to look at, okay? And you know, we call spiritualism an act of faith because we believe not in it as a replacement for Western medicine, but we believe that that intention and the connection with spirit as conscious co-creators and doing healing and sending prayer, that will help to shift things for ourselves and for other people. And so I would tell you to go back to that. I do feel somebody who comes in here, and I don't know that I want to talk about like a sugar issue, or I want to talk about maybe almost like a Parkinson's or something, but I feel a little shake. Do you understand this, Sarah? There's some there's something with that, and it's like, yes, and Elizabeth also, there's a reason it sounds spot on for you also, because we call that the economy of spirit. I also jokingly like to call it the 2-for-1 special. Don't tell anybody. but it's one of these things where if somebody from spirit feels that they have a message that is applicable, but they may not get a chance to step in also, that they will, they'll you know, put their brains together and send the message through in that way. So, Sarah, I just want to say to you, you know, keep moving forward, keep the faith, send out healing, because they are, you know, they're working with you to help him, okay? Because I have to say it feels very much like father's side of the family with that. Although it's interesting because I feel that your father was actually pretty close with your mom's side of the family. Yeah, so that's the kind of shakiness. Okay. There's something, I feel kind of tension in the one leg here as well, where it's like this could be muscle cramps or muscle spasms. And if he's not eating, of course, that doesn't help. So that would be a sugar issue probably as well. I can't diagnose that because, honestly, that's not my background. I don't know that much about anything physiological. But he, it does feel to me as though his spirit people are connecting. And, you know, I am aware that what does give him comfort is like not just Reiki, but which, by the way, bring that energy through yourself first, okay? It doesn't mean that there's anything that it will be less for him. It's not cake. you know, bring that energy through yourself first, setting the intention to reduce the stress, okay, and then sending it out to him, because that will, you know, that will really kind of, that gives us a more holistic approach to things, okay. When we're doing healing, there is nothing wrong with asking for healing for ourselves. And sometimes, you know, and that's why I like mediumship, because I think of it as verbal healing. That's a very, very important thing. So, you know, continue to do that. You know, sending energy without intention sometimes is very, very powerful, because it is like turning it over to spirit and saying, you know what's for his highest and best. So I will just put this out there and allow it to allow you to do your work, spirit, okay, and give thanks. See him as whole, see yourself as whole, and give thanks, because that's how Creator always sees us, okay? So thank you very much. So I probably look a little wild because I was trying to do the reading and also look at the comments, and it's kind of, I make a joke sometimes that mediumship is a bit like the most fun form of ADD, because your mind is going in 10 different directions. You're paying attention to the client, you're paying attention to the spirit person, you're paying attention to your physical body and what's yours and what's coming from other sources. So it's really, you know, it's pretty interesting, I have to say. And, you know, you could get a visual coming in. You could also be aware of a phrasing or just have a thought about something. So, you know, all of your skills are actively engaged. And that's another thing where meditation teaches you to kind of relax into that and just be aware of everything that's going on. So, okay. And then I also, let's see, I want to go back here because I saw a question that I wanted to get to, and I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but there was something, okay. Yes, and thank you for sending the National Coffee Day love to me as well. I appreciate that. I wanted to make sure that I covered the question thoroughly in the last couple of minutes about, you know, opening up in times of stress. And sometimes the most helpful thing that we can do with this is to give ourselves another tool to kind of get out of our left brain and ease into that energy of spirit. And how we can do that is to not just in meditation and in exercise and in taking care of ourselves physiologically, sometimes, you know, whether that is, you know, for some people they love swimming, for some people they love massage, for some people they, you know, like getting on the elliptical machine. I'm pretty sure that elliptical machines were invented just to torture me, frankly. So, but I know some people love them. It's anything that will kind of get us, allow us as we're setting the intention to get into that other headspace. And sometimes we need extra tools with that. And that would be something like inspired writing, which if you set the time aside consistently and persistently, some people get all of these fabulous ideas when they are, you know, doing the ordinary things that I would consider those everyday meditation, moments of meditation, for like washing the dishes, making their beds, taking a shower. If you have kids, you probably don't get much time to be alone. But setting up a routine with that is helpful so that your loved ones and your guides know when they can consistently and persistently get through. Now, the other thing is, if there is a situation in which you can actually go into, you know, reserve 20 minutes instead of 5 for inspired writing. You can do, you know, whenever something comes to you, just start to scribble it down or use your phone, use the memo in your phone, and you'll be able to get back into that energy later to finish something if you're not able to finish it up front, okay? So don't worry about being interrupted, that sort of thing, or being distracted. For the other kind is just putting time aside where automatic writing, and most people like to use their non-dominant hand because it's allowing activation in other parts of the brain, and it's also allowing spirit to come through and control as so that you're not in your own way, okay? So for some people, they've actually trained with rolls of paper towels, long pieces of paper, as it were, with that. And, you know, using the pen or pencil in the non-dominant hand and, you know, putting on some music or something that they're so that they've set the intention and then they get out of their own way and the pencil will just do its thing, okay? But you set the intention for who you want to come through or what you want to come through. And I don't mean highly specifically, but, you know, okay, spirit, if you have, or guides, if you... Oh, we're running out of time, 90 seconds. If, you know, something comes through for you, like, okay, spirit, what message do you have for me on this particular situation? What message do you have for me for today? You know, how can I be of service today? That's a really great intention and something that, you know, sometimes the answer might be just as simple as be happy, be kind, energy. And on that note, I am going to close out pretty quickly here because I'm going to be played off. But I thank you all so, so much for joining me. Remember to tune into the other Lilydale Radio shows. On Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, we have Colleen Vanderzijden's show, Embracing Your Essence. Wednesday, we have two shows. In the morning, we have Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m. That's Willa White. In the evening, we have Journey into Light with John White, no relation, at 8 p.m. And then, of course, here on Fridays, we have Celestial Fridays. So... happy National Coffee Day, and just know that I am wishing you a very good day and very good vibes. So, okay. see you next time. Bye-bye.